Welcome to the Floor Market Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of October, recording at 8:43 p.m., and that's still British summer time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets are mostly steady. European stock markets encountered a small amount of profit-taking, down a little over 1% on average. Wall Street hasn't closed yet, but is just about unchanged on the day, maybe down just a fraction. The South American markets, or at least, yes, pretty much all the South American markets are firm in here today. And elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices are steady, with the exception of gilts, which are down slightly. The U.S. dollar is easier once again, although it's off its lows, and actually it shows a very modest gain against the Australian dollar. Now, industrial metals have encountered some profit taking today. They've been quite strong recently, so they're all down, with copper down 7.5 cents as I speak. That takes it back to 278 to 25, and we see in other industrial commodities, crude oil is strong again today. That's interesting. More on that in a moment. And the precious metals are mostly firmer. The strongest one today is platinum. They did show quite good gains earlier on in the day when the dollar was weaker and when stock markets were a little bit firmer. Those gains have been pared back, but we've seen a number of new highs for the rally. New all-time high by gold, which had pushed up to 1,000, pushed up over 1,068 here earlier today, and is still at 1,062 as I speak. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the main activity. So, what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we know that we have been enjoying one of the best rallies of all time, packed into such a short time span. And veterans who've attended the chart seminar might recall the comment that the closest we get to a law of physics in markets — markets are of course a social science, but the closest we get to or market moves are a social science, but the closest we get to one of the laws of physics is the more you stretch a market in one direction, the more it tends to snap back in the other direction. And that's what we've seen with stock markets, and the general mood among investors is hopeful, somewhat bemused. Lots of wall of worry. I think we're still very much in that psychological perception phase where the wall of worry does dominate, because people think that markets may have run ahead too quickly. And they're certainly right in the sense that the low-hanging fruit has been plucked in these markets. People wonder whether or not the earnings are going to live up to the valuations that people see today, or if earnings expectations will be fulfilled. You can pretty well guess the answer on that. They will in some instances, and they won't in others. And people continue to speculate about when central banks might tighten interest rates further or remove some of the liquidity. And we have seen the first hikes in interest rates. It was Israel last month and Australia this month. But I think we net it all out. And as I said yesterday, I'm not more bullish today than I was earlier in the year, because markets have fulfilled more of their upside potential. But I'm certainly not bearish. And everything that we have seen, as both Owen and I have commented repeatedly, everything that we have seen has tended to reaffirm the ongoing bull market. And therefore, we feel the downside risk is limited to small reactions and consolidations. We get lots of those. And it's unusual to get a bull market of, oh, 2, 3 years or more without seeing at least a couple of corrections along the way. Now, a correction would be on the developed country market, such as the U.S., would be a 10 or 15% pullback. And that would be a mean reversion in terms of the rising 200-day moving average, most likely. So as I say, it's unusual not to see at least a couple of those during a 2 to 3 or longer bull market. And we haven't seen one of those yet. I think the closest we got was in that June-July reaction, which was just about 10%. So you could say that just qualified as a correction. But we will get another at some point. But I don't think we need to live in fear at that prospect. What I think we do need to do, and what we can all do, I suggest, is to monitor the chart action, because we see very well-defined overall upward trends for just about every stock market index going. And where we see those frequent little reactions and consolidations that I mentioned, you will see on the charts the higher reaction lows. Well, it would require, from current levels, it would require a break in the progression of those higher reaction lows to usher in a bigger reaction, let alone a correction. Now, until we actually see that, I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. Now, also, depending on when we do see the next correction for stock markets, if that were to come anytime soon, my guess is that that would be another good buying opportunity. The most recent and important correction that we have seen in stock markets was, of course, with China, as I've mentioned before. And I think that China, I've described that as very much as a mean reversion correction and creating another buying opportunity. So where I think the consensus is generally a little bit cautious about China right now, I regard that as one of the more attractively positioned markets in the sense that we would rather be picking up markets following reactions than chasing the momentum moves on the upside. And we are in an environment where I maintain that monetary policy does trump just about everything else. Now, in terms of the canary in the coal mine watch, I keep a close eye, as does Owen, on the long-dated government bond market. And prices there remain steady, albeit quiet, within overall ranging patterns. Now, that's good news for equity investors, because the bond market is not signaling alarm at this stage. Now, I think that bond market steadiness owes a great deal to the quantitative easing that we've seen. All you have to do is look at the Fed's balance sheet to see the vast quantity of bonds that they've been buying. But again, net it all out, the fact that they are buying those bonds creates a stable environment elsewhere. It helps keep mortgages rates from backing up, for instance, and it tends to curb concerns about future inflationary pressures. For certain, that's the one that would concern me most if were we to see bond yields push up strongly. I expect that to happen at some stage, but not while the quantitative easing is going on. And as a matter of fact, with the government buying bonds so voraciously, we've seen people like Bill Gross say in recent weeks that he was also buying long-dated government bonds. And that's fine as long as one can step aside before the government steps aside. But the point I'm trying to make, the really important point here, is that The government bond markets are steady. The corporate bond markets are really quite steady. And that's a reassuring environment for investors generally. And that's an environment which is consistent with further appreciations in most asset classes. Now, one of those asset classes which has been attracting more attention recently is, of course, precious metals. And I think this is exceptionally interesting because we have written and talked at length about those September breakouts, the two most recent ones. They don't occur every year. Last year was certainly not a breakout month in September or October for the precious metals, but they've occurred approximately every 18 months or following 18-month consolidations. So the last one prior to this September's upward breakout, and you can see this. If you want to see this, look at the go into the chart library, search under gold or golds, and bring up the 10-year chart. And I think also if you then go into the little charting bar, that's the black bar above the chart proper, and click on that little charting link, and you'll be able to add a log scale, which I would recommend for the discussion that I'm conducting. But and you will notice that when gold took off in September 2007, following its completion of an 18-month consolidation, it rallied the better part of $300. And then if we go back to the prior period, and I'm now looking at the September 2005 upside breakout, again gold rallied the better part of $300. So if we take 1,000 or a little above as the approximate level of the launch for another move on the upside, if we were to repeat that move, we would be seeing gold up at least the $1,300 level. Now, will the pattern repeat as it has in the past? I don't know, and neither does anyone else. But I certainly wouldn't rule it out because that's what we're seeing right now. And is an upside breakout following an 18-month consolidation and very, very strong technical action. And when we look at the background in terms of low interest rates, very accommodative monetary policy, a global economic recovery, that is an environment that really should be friendly to gold and the other precious metals. So just a repeat of the numerical moves following the previous upside breakouts that we saw, and again that was in September 2005 and September 2007, would take gold up to around $1,300. Now, I'm long gold. I'd like to see that, but more importantly is I'll just monitor the action as it unfolds. So far, so good. If I see breaks in the progression of higher reaction lows, then I might well stand aside. And what I should also mention is that on those two moves, those two $300 moves that I described just a few moments ago, that they were punctuated at about the midpoint by a reaction of on the order of $40 to $50. So we have to watch out for that at some stage. When you see that on the long-term charts, it doesn't look like anything. If you live through a $40 to $50 correction on a leveraged gold position, you feel the pain, as they say. Now, would gold get an equal percentage move rather than the numerical move that I just described? That's not impossible, but that would involve a return of gold fever, something that we haven't seen in a big way since 1980. And I do expect a bout of gold fever at some stage, but I don't know whether that's this year or next year or a few years from now. But meanwhile, what we do have is a secular bull market that's very impressive. There are good reasons for this strength that we're seeing currently in bullion, as I've mentioned before. And one could go on and on about those reasons, such as the printing of all the fiat money that we see worldwide. And it is abundantly clear that a number of investors are of the view, or coming to the view, that gold is hard money. And that's a fashion change, but it's one that has several thousand years of history behind it. But we're concerned about the here and now, and the action is favorable still at this stage. Okay, what else to mention here? Industrial metals. I think we will see a further recovery here as well. The technical patterns can certainly support that. I think both the miners and some of the consumers of these metals are a little anxious about GDP growth going ahead, and that the hedge funds and other speculators are playing a bigger part in the moves that these metals are actually seeing. And I'm participating in that to a small extent myself, with long positions in, let's see, what do I have? I have nickel, I have zinc, and I also have aluminium. The nickel position is the largest one that I currently hold. In all of these commodity moves, I do think that these are best purchased on setbacks, something that I have said on many, many an occasion, and that I think that is still true today. Of all the industrial commodities, and the one that may have the most short-term potential, in my view, is crude oil, because crude oil has been in a trading range for really quite some time. We've seen the NYMEX crude push up to over 74 here as I speak. It was up to nearly 74 and a half. And this broad trading range that we've seen against the background of increased interest in commodities due to the soft US dollar, and the fact that crude had been left behind recently by the industrial metals and also the precious metals, it does suggest to me that seeing crude now test the upper side of its range, I don't think we'll see more than temporary resistance near this sort of $74-$75 level before we get an upward break. I am, of course, talking my book, because I have a position in the Brent crude as well. But I think what I've said is justified by what we see in the charts, and we've also had the oil shares firm up considerably. And that's similar to what we've seen with gold shares, with most gold shares in recent weeks. So that looks like an interesting opportunity to me at this stage as well. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights here today, especially as I don't want to run on too long. More tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.